This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, July 5th. It's a lovely 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we continue our conversation on the march towards independence. Today's conversation is going to be based on why are you so proud to be Bahamian? Why should we be proud to be Bahamian? What are we doing right? Correctly, right? What does independence mean? What are the traits of an independent country? What do we need to do to continue to march on? And also, why is the world marking our manner? That's what our conversation is going to be about. Things that you're proud of. I know it's easy to complain, you know. I know there'll be one or two people who will call and say, man, we need to do better. And in fact, sometimes we do need to do better. But there are certain things that we are doing well. I mean, did you see that Bahamas team who played that basketball on their way to the Olympics? They will make it to the Olympics, right, to compete. They go into the semifinals. They have an 18-year-old boy there. Just going to university who's slam dunking on people. And right now he's leading the Bahamian team in points. That means, you're going to give me the name, eh? Edgecombe. Someone Edgecombe.
Valdez
Edgecombe?
He's from Bimini.
Edgecombe.
Yeah, Edgecombe. Vijay Edgecombe.
Bimini people can play ball? I mean, you say from Grand Bahama, I can understand. I know Bimini people can play ball.
Yeah, Bimini people could play ball, but I think what happens is that Bimini people with the proximity to the U.S. Take advantage of that and the sort of social relationships between Bimini and the U.S.
Yeah.
He's been in the U.S. Going to school.
Ah.
And so his high school performance of note, he was named top 5 high schoolers across the entire United States of America.
Nice. Basketball. He's that good.
Yeah, so he's on the cover of a magazine, I think called Slam Magazine, top 5. And he's going to Baylor University. He competed in one of the local international tournaments hosted over the bridge day. And his team performed extremely well.
Nice. Now he's a cultural icon, someone to be proud of. And especially when you see he's outperforming premier players like Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm. I mean, Buddy Hield is averaging like 19 points, and this Edgecombe is averaging 22 points, right? Mm-hmm. And above, Aiken? Above him too.
DeAndre Aiden.
Okay.
Yeah, I can read it for you right now. So in their latest game against Poland, Aiden finished with 18 points, 9 rebounds. Hield, 17 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. Gordon added 12 points and 5 assists, but it was 18-year-old Valdez who came away with 21 points. In fact, in both games, he has been the lead scorer, and I found some stats somewhere because people have been posting all week, all the highlights, But he's just been doing phenomenally well. There are flyers. So there's a flyer that'll show you the full breakdown for mm-hmm. Valdez. Points, rebounds, assists, steals for each game. I didn't save the flyers. I just saved the text attached to the flyer.
Good. And the thing is, we have a number of college basketball players who are premier. I remember the Kobe brothers. I'm not sure what happened to them. I know we were waiting on them to be drafted for the NBA, right. But they didn't make it. Then I think they went overseas to play in Europe right. in general.
Peggy Knowles, our cousin Peggy, her
yes.
son.
Plays for, what that team would beat the Bahamas the other day? He played for that team.
Is it Montenegro? Greece? Greece and Montenegro?
Yeah.
In those friendlies.
And I was surprised they didn't mention him that he was playing on the other side.
Right.
Yeah, on the other side.
No, he's a citizen of their country.
He'd been there for a while, so I assume so.
Well, no, it's slightly different. You have to be a citizen.
So it was the national team was playing? I thought it was a basketball. He plays on their professional
leagues.
Oh,
you're saying the friendly game was not between the national teams. It was between teams from Greece and from Montenegro.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yes, yes.
Wow,
yes,
that's
yes.
cool.
Yeah, so that was something to
You sent me a flyer for Tum Tum Nairn?
Tum Tum Nairn. I remember I thought he was going to make it to the NBA too, and I'm not sure what happened in terms of his career. Mm-hmm. But these were phenomenal players who was playing big ball in college. And this is something that we need to be proud of and be saluting and remembering that we've had from the time beginning. I remember Quant. I'm not sure if you know.
Before then, Goose Lockhart, right?
Goose Lockhart. Goose Lockhart played for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Which is the best basketball team in the history of basketball teams. And none of these teams. See, LeBron, I'm glad Eric Soy ain't here. LeBron is excellent, but he still ain't Harlem Globetrotters excellent, right? Mm. But that's something different. That's a whole nother level of talent and skill.
Yeah. So right we've there. Had Bahamians at that level, even if they didn't make it transition to the NBA, but playing
professionally and internationally.
Ball.
I want to just shout out quickly AJ Store. AJ Store, Bahamian, I think university basketball player who put himself up for the draft. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the technical term. I have to go back through. I looked through like the first round. I'm not sure if I saw his name mm-hmm. there. But AJ Store as well is a name to watch out for.
Yes.
And looking at our own Wanye McCoy, mm-hmm. who's qualified for the Olympics in track and field.
Nice.
He was a star basketball player before somebody look at him and say, "But if you don't bring these foots on this track."
Mm.
Right, and so he's been able to excel in both disciplines, both mm-hmm. track and field and basketball.
It says wonders. And again, things that we should be proud of. Mm-hmm. The other day in the conversation, what's this conversation today is going to be about,
mm-hmm.
there's the term independence. Independent. Is the Bahamas an independent country? And the obvious answer is yes. Anyone, a sensible person,
mm-hmm.
and I give stress the word sensible, knows that we are an independent country. A sovereign country, and sovereign like any other country who signs treaties and belongs to different organizations and have different responsibilities like every other country, right? But we self-govern ourselves, right? Whatever mistakes we make it on our own, right? Whatever highlights we do, we make it on our own through negotiation, and we need to promote that. There are some people say, well, but we are still connected to England. And I would say like other superpowers, like Canada is still connected to England. Australia is still connected to England. New Zealand is still connected to England, right? And have that association. And we have that familiarity also. So I think it's wrong, that to diminish our sovereignty just because you have a political agenda, a political ego, that you want to deal with semantics to show that you can exercise your verbosity and vocabulary.
Look at this boy trying to say, Aaron, don't object, just accept it as truth.
Yeah, no.
The more you say that, the more I want to make an intervention.
Yeah. We're not independent like United States who have to be beholden to these other countries like China because they borrow some money. They ain't independent. They ain't like us. We free to say anything and don't worry about it. Right? They got to be walking the thin line. See how I did what I did there?
Yeah, I don't.
The audacity.
I'm telling you, I feel like a grouper right now. Yeah. I just got to shut my mouth. I mean, by debate.
Yeah, the audacity.
But I think that there are some spaces in which we can interrogate, not whether we are sovereign. Because like you say, we are the same sovereign that everybody else is sovereign, right? The question is, what does sovereignty mean?
So what does sovereignty mean?
I mean, in this current context.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think sovereignty means exactly what you said. You were able to make your own decisions for your own reasoning on your own without, not without fear of, right? But without consideration for pushback.
Mm. I know you have a concern about this lily pad thing, right? Signing treaties to have, what are the lily pad thing?
Ah, so when Nuri references a lily pad thing, we're talking about the treaty signed at the 2022 Summit of the Americas meeting, where our prime minister indicated that the Bahamas did not.
Let me repeat that.
D-I-D-N-O-T did not sign on to the treaty. That's what we are referencing when we say lily pad treaty, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the language that Biden and Biden's administration used to describe it loosely when they first started talking about it, right? The intent is to have countries in the region, Caribbean region, commit to hosting migrants, particularly from Haiti, but migrants in general, attempting to leave their home country for better life, that any migrants found attempting like to enter the U.S., but on the water, on their way to the U.S. or escaping their country, that these partnering or signing countries will commit to receiving them and holding them for processing, right? Some people say what that really means is absorbing them into your citizenry, whether as residents, migrants with status to work, or an eventual path to citizenship. Right? Some people think that's what it means. Some people say, look, they just want us to hold migrants, determine whether they are political refugees, right? If they are fleeing from real, right? When I say real, all circumstances are real, right? But whether they're economic refugees, whether they're political refugees, right? Maybe they're medical refugees. Why is it they're fleeing and are their lives at risk if we send them back? Now, the issue I had with it was this, is that nobody was talking about it. Nobody. In fact, our government hasn't even talked about it. I haven't heard our government use the same language that Biden used. The only time they talked about it was to tell us that they didn't sign the treaty.
Let me interrupt you.
Yeah. When that popped up, though, there was some UK-Rwanda migrant plan that was unfolding at the same time, and I realized that there's a copy of that.
And all of that to say is our prime minister didn't sign it. That's my point. I know you need to explain it is.
However, I'm glad we got there.
My point is our prime minister didn't sign it.
I'm glad we got there, but he doesn't have to sign it to do the things that are asked of him in it. And the question is, does him not signing it mean anything if, in fact, it turns out he's actually still doing what they asked? He just didn't sign the document. Yep. So I'm glad you raised that point.
Yes, he didn't sign it. That's my point. And in terms of sovereignty and in terms of us being independent, we see that our governments and continuous governments have decided not to sign on to various treaties. Like, for example, that one Caribbean
Single market.
We are observers, and we say, man, we just can't afford to have a large population of Caribbean people immigrate to the Bahamas.
That's not exactly what was said. I like how you interpolated something that I know you clearly never heard. I know you never heard a politician say that.
They want the people to come here.
I know you ain't never heard nobody say that.
That was the conclusion. We don't want that large population of migrant workers to come here because we cannot sustain it at this present time. It'll be a detriment to us. And it's, again, a number of other Caribbean nations have signed on that one economy, that one, what's called the money? that one currency.
Single market economy.
And then even the terms of the judges, even though I think we should sign on to the judicial
system. The CCJ?
Yeah, I think we
may. I tell you what, I'm a homosexual and I'm afraid of it. Y'all still talking about killing homosexuals and sentencing them to death and things.
You mean the Caribbean people? Because we don't do that.
That's the same court you want to sign on to.
Well, okay, look like we more sophisticated.
I'm just saying. When you looking for my vote, you know where it ain't gonna be.
Don't join on to them.
I mean, I'm just saying, okay. They're still into hanging people, and some of them people may be gay people, and just for being gay, yes. They're trying
to
hang you.
So it shows that we are sovereign, and something to be proud of, and that we exercise our sovereignty, and that despite one or two hiccups, right? Some people say, oh, we should stay under Britain, whatever it is, as a nation.
Talking about sovereignty, you can give me do I have an option to object?
You can object.
Okay, just checking.
You can object. May not make sense. you can object all the time.
I appreciate the thread, right? I appreciate the thread. I just want to make the point that not signing on to CCJ is not necessarily a symbol or a sign of sovereignty.
Well, the pressure suggests that we should have signed on, and we decided not.
What pressures?
From the Caribbean. Our Caribbean brothers.
Okay, I thought you were going to say pressures from the Bahamas, from Bahamians sign on.
Bahamians don't want to join on it either.
You sure? Because a number of Bahamians want to.
I believe the majority of us have concerns of joining CGJ.
I appreciate the sentiment that I missed, right? Which is a lot of people are not necessarily wanting to join the CCJ.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to pull out of the Privy Council.
And don't
which
mind.
Is exactly because pulling out of the Privy Council, in their minds, they're not considering, if we pull out of the Privy Council, then we're going to go to the CCJ as our final court of appeal. Those people want the Bahamas Court of Appeal to be the final court of appeal, which is slightly nuanced and different in a nuanced way. But the point I was making was that us not capitulating to Caribbean demands to sign on to the CCJ is not necessarily an indicator of real sovereignty if on the other side the pressure is to not let go of the Privy Council. And so we are stuck between two different, I don't want to say masters because it's not quite that dynamic, but we sort of stuck between these two different pressures.
One of these days we need to interrogate who is in support of moving from the Privy Council. And the reason why I asked that question is the judiciary, because the local judiciary seems to be for it. They understand the nuances of why they want the Privy Council to be our last court.
To remain our last. Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like if the general public, the person who's not versed in law, who's not experienced in this global trade or with the ramifications of it, because there will be ramifications, that they're the ones pushing the agenda, say, I don't want their ego, right? Their hubris, that they don't want to be associated with anything European, anything foreign, and will negate the benefits of it. For their selfishness to say, man, I just want to be independent. Mm-hmm. I just want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
But is being a part of the Privy Council an indication that we're not sovereign?
It's possibly.
But there's a number of other countries too.
Okay, so the initial point that you made is very important. We are as sovereign as any other country.
As any other country.
The question is the quality of the sovereignty, the definition of sovereignty. What do you actually mean when you say sovereignty? A lot of people would say, no, we're not sovereign because we don't make our own decisions. We rely on the IMF for this and for that.
But every other country does. Well, let's say the majority of other countries do the same thing.
And so the question,
suffer the ramifications
of the question is not are we sovereign or not, because we are sovereign as any other country, except for like Russia. They just do what they want.
But they still negotiate still.
Right.
And still do partnerships.
Right. And so the question is, what does sovereignty mean in modern politics, right? And what does it mean right now? And can it mean anything else? Like you say, there is no such thing as true independence. Everybody is dependent on somebody else for something. Every country is dependent upon some other country for some things, and every nation, and I make a distinction between country and nation, every nation is dependent upon other nations.
So this is what I'll do. I'll open the line to 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Island, it's 242-300-5720. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you believe the Bahamas is a sovereign country? Do you believe that we are independent? And if you don't believe we are independent, what else would satisfy you? What else is needed for us?
For true independence.
For true independence. What should we be doing for true independence? Or do you appreciate the fact that we are a part of a global society who signed treaties, who signed policies and procedures, mm-hmm. and that we are part of this global tapestry? And this is why.
I have my own definition for sovereignty.
Man, go ahead.
I was in a Jesse Jackson kind of mood to make up our own words and thing. But I think sovereignty, a good definition for sovereignty is the state of committing to creating the things that we say we value and valuing the things that we say we want to create and that we do create.
I can appreciate that. I'll go further, right? Because this is where the frustration comes in, mm-hmm. when people say they don't understand what it is to be Bahamian, and because there's so much variant definition. Whose responsibility is it to define what it is to be Bahamian, to define the Bahamian values, to define the Bahamian culture, Bahamian ethos?
Okay, watch this.
Because I believe there's a frustration, mm-hmm. right, in terms of the definition. And this is what makes making so many people questioning whether the Bahamas is a sovereign nation or not.
All right, it's we the people. Us the people. It's our... Not just, it's our right, it's our obligation, it's our duty to create mechanisms and processes where we are continually and constantly defining what it means to be Bahamian and marking, demarking, right? Entrenching, like, look, in the 1800s, this is what it meant to be a Bahamian.
Yes.
In 1975, this is what it meant to be a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. This is what it meant to John Canoe. This is what it meant to Rake and Scrape. In 1965, it was slightly, this is what it was. And we document that. This is what it was in 65. This is what
then
it was.
And I would stop you and ask you, is it being documented?
I don't think it's being documented properly. Here's the problem. It's only the government's job to ensure that it gets done. It's not the government's right to define who and what is a Bahamian.
That's interesting.
It's not their right to tell us who we are. But they do have a duty to ensure that the process is continually happening.
So that's a disconnect. Because of the type of society where we are patriarchal, where the parent taking care... How do you pronounce that?
Well, parochial.
Parochial, right? We, in a system that we inherited, where through our modern socialists... Modern socialists, right? Where the government takes care of our needs... And we go to them.
And a system of patronage, right?
Patronage. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
A number of Bahamians are waiting for the government to lead us down this path. Looking for that Moses. Mm-hmm. And even in our narrative, when we just talk our political...
they still got these young people talking about Moses and Joshua.
Joshua era.
They're young people. If you hear these old people telling you that, just tap them on their shoulder and say, the bus coming soon, Grandpa. The bus coming
they
soon,
should be
okay?
They should be ashamed that we're still using that as analogies and say, Joshua soon, come.
And don't realize that if you are using that analogy in the modern day right now, then you are the Moses that refuses... To relent.
His parents is a lot of Moses because we had like three different eras of our political system, mm-hmm. right? And they still are saying that we're waiting on this Joshua.
Or better, they want you to identify them as the Joshua.
Yeah, everyone want to be the savior.
They want you to say, no, you are our Joshua, mm-hmm. when really you's the Moses too.
And because that's part of our narrative, that's part of our psyche, right?
Yeah.
We wait for our government to direct us, to tell us that. You say, government, we need to be defined. We need to acknowledge our culture. But we want you to tell us the conclusion so we can accept it.
Mm-hmm.
You see that even so our music industry. The musicians will say that we understand what the problem is, but it's the government who need to solve it by enacting laws instead of they create a culture amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we will honor ourselves. This is the system that we will be managing ourselves for. Similarly, like banking. Banking created their own laws, then put that package of laws, a suite of laws, presented to the government, and the government passed a law based on what was recommended by the industry. Same thing with the insurance company. They had a suite of best practices happening around the world, and they took it to the government and say, this is what we want to be managed by. And the government passed those laws, and now they manage for that. But the musicians haven't done that yet. The general public hasn't done that yet. They're waiting for government from bottom up. They're like from top to bottom.
You see it all over. Like the drive, you think I waiting for the police to tell you to put your phone down, you almost bucking up into people? No, I can blow my horn and tell you to put your phone down, you almost bucking up into people. Mm-hmm. You think I must wait for them to come in and make the roads safer? Or I should just wait until I get news from St. Peter? I mean, even if you have to memo it down, you know, even if I had to send it down 107 flights mm-hmm. to where I is to say, you know, that woman who went to jail for killing you, mm-hmm. she get a sentence appeal, you know, and she don't have to spend that much time in jail. She may not go to jail at all, you know. I ain't waiting for that.
So let me put a question. Where do you see the Bahamas in the next 25 years? You know, we just do that capsule thing, right? I think it's a 25-year capsule where they put some information, a lot of books. They put there, right? A handbook, I see.
Did you see, was there at any moment in time, did the government make an announcement that the general public is invited to submit or contribute what they think should be in the time capsule for 25 years? Well, then let's not talk about it.
But it's a
PLP capsule.
It can't be a PLP capsule.
Who else it belong to? Did anybody ask you what you thought should be in it?
Can't be a PLP
capsule. It is
capsule.
A PLP Golden Jubilee celebration. So I let me rephrase that. It was a political class.
Okay.
Golden Jubilee anniversary celebrations. It's not just limited to the PLP. But surely this is a Brave Davis administration project. It has nothing to do with us. Let them put in it what they want to put in it, since they didn't think they needed to come to the public for... I mean, I'm livid. It's a time capsule. It's not about your thoughts. It's not about what your feelings are. You don't treat it like you treated the Golden Jubilee and the 50th Independence and the 51st Independence. It's a time capsule.
Seems like you want a more participatory society. You won't be involved.
Not society. I cool with people. I dead cool with people and say, man, Aaron Green, cool, you know, but we invite to the event. I cool with that. That's not what I mean. Participatory governance. See, because... when it comes time to pay the bill, like as soon as y'all start talking $1 billion, it was not I, it was us. Us, we need to pay this $1 billion. No, you need to pay the $1 billion. Mm. More participatory in the right places. Don't just call me when you have a big bill. Hmm.
So you want a more layered government? Different.
I want a government that operates with integrity. I want a government that...
But integrity is subjective, man.
No, it's not.
You don't think it's subjective?
No, it's not subjective.
But something that you would call integrity, I might say, man, no, that's some simple man. I can ignore that.
Let me catch my breath.
Catch your breath, man.
Just for a moment there, since we're on radio and not television, you would have seen me turn 17 different colors just now. Mm-hmm. No, the integrity is standard. It's standard. Don't mind these by them pushing the marker back, having... swearing in ceremonies and in funeral services.
You didn't like that?
Bussing into the church service talking about I'm the PM of Abaco and possibly before the courts. Come on, no. None of it. They have completely and totally destroyed and bastardized the Westminster system. Half of them don't even know it's one word. They think there's an Eastminster and a Westminster.
Yeah.
No, we had a candidate in Grand Bahama who was the chief passport officer, designed a PLP candidate training program, and did not have sufficient respect for the Bahamian people to fill out the form properly.
So that's what you would like the Bahamas to pursue, to better...
integrity, be better to operate with integrity. The list could go on, you know. I mean, to take the call or change the subject, you just give me an opportunity to name it. Like, I'm going to ask. Nobody has responded appropriately to the minister responsible for youth sports and culture tabling an unaudited report on a matter that the Auditor General tabled a report for after the local organizing committee for the event called the audited report garbage, and the minister just walk up into the house and say, oh yeah, while we here, item number B, you know the audit, I got an unaudited report.
2 months ago, we forgive that already.
No, we didn't forgive it. We may have forgotten it the same way we didn't even realize that same said minister had his birthday party at the baseball stadium, a stadium for which we have not gotten the total expenditure for yet, you know. Mm. We even haven't gotten that yet. And he having birthday party there. Did he table when he had the opportunity, all the report showing all the invoices and that he paid for everything that he used at the stadium yet? Did we get that?
Too much for things, man, Aaron.
We didn't get that.
Let that die.
Has anybody told us what was in the investigative report for the 2018 fire when somebody turned on the generator, even though somebody told them not to turn on the generator? I mean, just a few months ago, the Prime Minister looked us in our face and told us something is rotten at BPL, but he wouldn't tell us what it was. But what we have is anecdotal stories of chunks of concrete falling out of the roof and damaging equipment. The man said it's a matter, he didn't say it's a matter of trust. He said the contract just hadn't been reduced to writing. They have made a mockery.
We talk about independent
of
ours and things we doing.
So let me finish it off with this.
Just go ahead.
Your authority, when you hold an office as a member of society, your authority is not vested in you and your attitude when you wake up in the morning. The authority is vested in the provisions that create the office. Your authority is vested in you doing what it is you are authorized to do via the act. It is you who bastardize and destroy your own credibility and authority by acting outside of the provisions of your office because you think you are a boss and you could do what you want.
I didn't see you on the vote again this election. Let's go to the caller. You can spoil the ballot again.
I mean, they spoiled the election. Why I don't spoil
the
ballot?
Let's go to the caller. You just can spoil it. Just don't vote, man. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning to you, Mr. Nuri and Ms. Aaron.
Good morning.
And to my fellow Bohemian. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Just call it, give him one word.
Yes, sir.
You need from all these politicians, and when you say governance, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word is bona fides, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Honesty and sincerity of intent. So, goodbye. You all have a nice day.
Thank you, sir.
Good.
Look how he calmed me down. I was going to mention how I like to have my meetings at 1622. What's C 1622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard? I ain't going to talk about it no more.
Leave Frank Watson alone.
No, it's just a boulevard I like. Okay. I mean, it's not obviously
Let's
not made properly.
So you can calm
it's
down.
Dangerous.
There's
car accidents all the time on that road.
We can talk about how now we even have a new development for what do you call it, hurricane thing. We have
the DRM.
Yes, the DRM thing.
All right. There's also a number of good texts here, Mr.
Yeah, we can read the texts too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyways, this is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Current Cut Productions presents Papa Joe's Cafe. Watch Joe, the cafe owner, grapple with the grief and chaos of daily life, surrounded by nosy cooks, a mouthy waitress, and a parade of lively characters. With themes of political satire, romance, and betrayal, this is a story you won't want to miss. Join us for an unforgettable stage play at the Performing Arts Center at UB on July 12th and 13th.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Today is Friday, July 5th, and we're talking about independence. We're talking about things that Bahamas can celebrate, things that we're doing well. And I would say Erin running out, but no, she's just passionate. No,
I
know they run out.
Listen, before I read this text, right, I want to apologize to the wider public because I've been on a bent about traffic management, traffic enforcement for a hot minute. Because of, you know, I held a man in my arms after he got knocked down by a car and the police drove by us like they were going to ignore us in the road. They didn't even stop to ask if, you know, we needed an ambulance or anything. So I have these intense personal experiences to draw me to it. But I want to apologize because I realize that perhaps this administration is nothing going to happen. We have a minister of energy and transport that has barely spoken about transport except to play games with the taxi cab union. That's it. But further to that, we still have an unresolved matter with the now Minister of Transport. And I want to ask the Davis administration, how on God's good earth did you think it was appropriate to make Ms. JoBeth Colby-Davis minister responsible for transport? Do you make a mockery of us?
What do you have against JoBeth Colby?
I have nothing against her.
Then leave that pretty woman alone.
See? This is my issue. So she's a pretty woman and thus she is protected from any critique.
I go with
she
that.
Put on a sundress and is nothing the man them have to say. I don't have time for you. See, you think I'm a lesbian and I'm going to get caught up in that sundress diplomacy
nice.
As well.
She looked
not
nice.
Me. Not me. Here's what I'm saying. I apologize for riling y'all up about traffic because I should know, as smart as y'all say I am, that ain't nothing going to happen with traffic if the PLP didn't realize the aesthetic of appointing a Mrs. JoBeth Colby-Davis to be responsible for transport. So on behalf of me, I want to apologize to y'all. Okay? That's my bad.
Let me change the direction.
Text.
Let's
go to text.
But let me ask you this while you're reading the text. What do you like about this country? I'm not going to read the text.
You know what? You know when I do this sports segment every day? I love it. I am proud to be a Bahamian because of the other Bahamians who are here. You see, my experience with the Methodist Summer Youth Program, it made me proud to be a Bahamian, that other Bahamians would volunteer their time and pay their own way to create these developmental experiences for young Bahamians and then to raise extra money to ensure that children from the residential care facilities could also have a bit of normalcy and do what it is that other young Bahamians do. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because of a Kenris Carey, because of a Cheryl Carey, because of a Reg Eldon. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because of a Nicole Gray that was leading CYAM at St. Anne's for forever because there was no one else to do it. And a Mrs. Bernadette Johnson, who she was taking over from. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because of a Barbara Pierre, right? Because of a Esther Hannah Culmer. I'm proud because of the boy who called in and tell us about Baigadu, but didn't, you know, he's holding that because of a Brayman. These are the things that make me proud to be a Bahamian, right? It ain't the politics and the thing. It's the real things, the Casper, the Shadford, the Vividly Val, the Melody, the D, the Entertainer, the Bloody. Bloody love the Bahamas and KB so much, but bloody Duta, I'm a boatman. Those are the things that make me proud. To hear Priscilla Rollins pour out her heart about what it meant to represent the Bahamas, to perform for the Bahamas, to work for the Bahamas as a cultural ambassador. Those are the things that make me proud, right? To be a Bahamian. Not this foolishness.
Let's go to the text, man. Let's read some of these texts.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Text. So imagine 25 years from now. Oh, he said people putting. Did you know somebody made a crab and rice cheesecake?
I don't even believe cheese is supposed to be in cake. Oh, no. Why would you put crab inside a cheesecake?
Because you could do a savory one. It doesn't have to be sweet.
Go ahead.
Anyway, the person says, so imagine 25 years from now. If the U.S. was to stop exporting to the Bahamas, can we feed ourselves? No, I would like to see the Bahamas reach a point where we can feed ourselves, raising livestock, eggs, farming, etc.
But that's not made to make us less independent or less sovereign. That just makes us more dependent on people. Because there are other countries who have to import as well.
Right. So we make the point that we are as sovereign or as independent as any other country, but these people are interrogating what sovereignty actually means, right? And so in that instance, I sort of agree with them. Yeah, we have a minimal production in some areas. Do we have the capacity? I don't have a problem with importing. Do we have the capacity to test everything that we import to ensure that it is safe and decent and good for Bahamian people? The loss of sovereignty is not in the having to import. It's the inability to control what you import that makes us less sovereign, right? It's those mechanisms and institutions that we are missing. Another text, CA and Aaron, the Bahamas is not a sovereign state. We are the child of separated parents who share joint custody. The UK and the US are our parents, and we do as they say or else. Also, the name Commonwealth shows that we are still part of the British Commonwealth.
You know who is part of the British Commonwealth?
Who?
Canada.
And the United States.
Well, no, they have their own Commonwealth.
No, no. The United States is part of the British Commonwealth.
No, they're not part of the British Commonwealth. No, 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 no.
Yes, they are.
No, 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 no.
They come out just like us.
Yeah, but they come out, but they're part of the Commonwealth, though. The Commonwealth is a union. They're not a part of that union.
They're part of the Commonwealth. You hear the boys say they're like two parents, right? And we live up under one parent arm. We live with them. They have full custody of us, and the other ones don't.
I'm trying to remember which African state just joined the British Commonwealth also and applied for membership and was granted.
It's not one where the Pope went to visit them. He went all the way. He didn't call them. He didn't teleport a hologram or anything. He went straight there and told the rest of the world while he was there, y'all, these my people.
But the Commonwealth are countries who came out of Britain.
They used to be colonies.
Yeah, but remember they said, I think Rwanda is a country that just recently joined the Commonwealth.
You sure they?
Just recently. They applied and were granted acceptance of a Commonwealth.
Making sense now.
Yeah.
All of it's making sense now.
Yeah.
I wondered why our government...
But finish reading the text.
...honored them. Hold on, before... You were making a really good point there. I can go
back. No, I thought you finish.
All of these countries are colonies.
Were former colonies.
Were colonies.
Yes.
They weren't former colonies. They will always be former colonies.
You think Australia and New Zealand will be... Not a part of the Commonwealth. I mean, they are a part of the Commonwealth. You think they're not...
No, the point I'm making is this, is it doesn't matter what you regard yourself as. It's what Britain regards you as. That's why I made the point about the Pope. The Pope came down there to tell the rest of the world, these my people. Don't matter what you think you are. It's who we tell you are. That's why I make that point about the Commonwealth.
But I think the chair of the Commonwealth is... What that lady name? I forget the lady.
It matters not.
And she's not from Britain.
It matters not. How many, 5 children in the household, when mommy put somebody in charge, everybody know mommy's still in charge. Yeah.
We'll continue. Read the text.
Fascinating to interrogate these things. This idea that we are sovereign or independent, that is promoted every year during Independence Week by politicians and the aristocracy and intellectuals in Bahamian society, is a joke and an exercise in futility to make us, the masses, feel good about ourselves, like how parents tell their young kids every Christmas that Santa Claus will bring gifts. According to my friend, the Chikchani, the Bahamas is independent and a sovereign country. I don't know which Chikchani... I mean, there's plenty of Chikchani out there.
Let me read this. See, I just had to Google it. See, the last 4 countries to join the Commonwealth, Mozambique, Rwanda, Gabon, and Togo, and they have no historical ties to the British Empire at all.
But were they former colonies?
Not of Britain.
Were they former colonies?
But not of Britain.
Were they former colonies?
Well, these African states were, yes. Only one African state.
Doesn't matter who the abuser is. A victim of abuse is a victim of abuser.
Let me finish reading the text.
The problem is we don't know what independence means, but I figure it out. The government celebrating independence from us. They even get a $2.5 million plane to make the breakaway. That's a rough one. All right. Some nations can just take over other nations if they want, though. So there still is a pecking order. If we aligned with North Korea, America would step in immediately and there would end our sovereignty. A texter said, Aaron, the text just come in. Aaron, don't stop talking about traffic. A week ago, I saw my life flash before my eyes. Two buses were racing on Prince Charles between Epiphany and the Elizabeth Police Station. One bus got stuck behind me and continued speeding. He had to be 5 inches from my bumper. Speeding, there was no opportunity to pull to the side. Up ahead, a car had stopped to turn right. There was traffic coming down in the opposite lane, so the car couldn't turn. So the bus couldn't overtake me, and yet he did not slow down. I had to speed to stay ahead of him. Luckily, I was able to veer into Elizabeth Estates corner to save my soul for a bowl of conch salad for one more day. I determined that I was going straight to the police station. When I was about to turn into the police yard, I said to myself, what will they do? The same thing they did when I reported the cube that almost ran into me driving the wrong way around the roundabout by Bahama. I decided they'd be too busy or disinterested in traffic infractions to care and just did a U-turn. One more day in the bananas. Mr. Newry, yesterday on my way home, I was on East Street looking at Shirley Street, and I want to cross over to Northeast Street, right? While I'm waiting there at the light, a lovely couple tourists on a scooter must not have seen the light turn from green to red and made it halfway into the intersection before they realized their folly. Fortunately, the car that was entering the intersection at the time was alert and did not injure them or allow them to injure themselves on his car and get the turn of events properly. So as I entered the intersection, they were reversing behind the line. I told them, look, guys, remember, be careful, be safe. Keep your eyes on all the lights. They were thankful. They said, thank you, ma'am. You know, we're so sorry. So now I'm on this portion of East Street between Shirley Street and Bay Street. And a number of cars are parked, I imagine, illegally because there's no parking on the right-hand side of the road. But then I realized the police has parked their car anyhow. What kind of cars park up there anyhow they want? And I was unfortunately stuck behind a car that was illegally parked, and two men came out of the car to enter a business. I asked them if they really was going to leave their car there. They say, we have a business here. Oh, boy, did they cuss me, Mr. Newry, right in front of Central Police Station, right? Right in the area where the most infractions take place. I wonder. Texas, I ain't going to stop talking about traffic. Not even when I dared. I coming back to haunt somebody to talk about traffic. Trust that. Mr. Newry?
All I want is for sweeten the paved roads. Happy Independence, Fabulous. Have a wonderful day.
Ah, my sweetness. Look how Hugh can get fired, too.